The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. How ironic, you know, to have that Generac from Patriot Electric that you can win. I'd highly suggest it, given the fact that Pacific Power, when there's a wildfire risk and a problem on the line, was, well, they under wildfire mitigation, safety, because you don't want to get sued out of existence, they drop the power. So get your Generac from Patriot, you know. Get signed up, all right? KMED.com. Well, it's pretty irritating, huh? The situation we find ourselves in. Mr. X, you are going through a laundry list of all of the various groups that, in essence, support burning the land in Southern Oregon, okay? And we didn't even get through all of them here. And so, because it seems like we're almost surrounded by people who are going through this this modern day Dances with Wolves forest policy plan of burning, burning, burning. We can't you can't harvest, you can't mechanically remove. You got to burn, 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 baby, burn.
Right.
Forest inferno, that kind of thing.
You know, in simple theory, Bill, what happened to them was that they argued back in the 90s for the Northwest Forest Plan, and they ceased logging. Once they ceased logging, they didn't address the idea that land regenerates at a given amount every year.
And the fuel load was going to just increase because they keep growing.
And the fuel
right?
load increased and increased and increased. One of the first fires that everybody got concerned with was the Biscuit Fire. That was the result of a prescribed burn. And it was like 500,000 acres. That's bigger than the state of Rhode Island.
Well, that would be a success, according to all our collaborative partners down here in Southern Oregon.
It wasn't a success, because when you read the lessons learned at the Wildfire Lessons Learned Center, the lessons learned were to sterilize the soil. So for literally thousands of years now, you're going to have a problem in that area. That's what these people don't understand. They call themselves fire practitioners. They're very proud of their position. But anyway, we get to the SOFRC. I think I said that one, the Southern Oregon Forest Restoration Collaborative. We go then to the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy. Then we go to the Freshwater Trust. Then we go to Trout Unlimited. Then we go to Water Watch. And then we go to the Water League. Then we go to the Center for Social Ecology and Public Policy. Then we go to the Save the Phoenix Wetlands. Now, that's the list on this page of their partners in all of this. So we sit there and we look at the shared information, the shared things. We look at how many people are actively involved across the board. And I've always looked at it and said the consensus model magnifies or intensifies the perception of a huge number of people, and I say that there is not.
So you probably have a couple hundred people, maybe 300 on the high end, that are destroying or that have a policy of supporting the destruction of life for more than a quarter million people, ultimately, even if they think they're doing the right thing, right?
And I personally believe that it's a criminal action when they violate the law. I had gone to, I just keep reading and reading and reading.
Okay. Now, we're going to have to just turn it over to people because, you know, you have to understand the depth of the conspiracy. This is just an open conspiracy. They're you know, conspiring to do what they do, what they think is right. But I think they're wrong. You think they're wrong. A lot of other people think they're wrong, too. And ultimately, how do you believe, the county is supposed to have the supremacy in all of this, not the consensus groups here and all of their collaborative partners and professional fire practitioners, et cetera, et cetera. So where do you think we go after we try to learn more? What is it going to take, you think, here? And then we got about a minute left and we'll have to wrap. Okay.
Well, it's going to take a change in perception, Bill. It's going to, first off, let's stop calling it a wildfire. It was a case of arson. If it was human caused, was it intentional or not? And that's the thing. Was it an accidental? If it was not accidental, then it's a case of arson. And if it was accidental, what would you have done, Bill, if you would have sparked something that started ignition? Well, the most simple thing is you stop it out. You take, you know, you go into these areas, you carry a shovel, you do something. But then it's response. It's response with the intent of putting it out as quickly as possible. But when you look at it, I looked on one of the ODF reports, and this thing was scheduled. It's scheduled to go through July 24th. Now think about that just for a minute.
Uh-huh.
It's scheduled to go through July 24th.
So we got 2 weeks. Okay.
Scheduled to go.
Okay. Yeah, this is Salt Creek you must be speaking of, right? Salt Creek.
I'm speaking of Salt Creek, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could be just the mop-up and everything else. It'll take that much time.
Well, exactly. But you got to look at if they have the ability to schedule that out, are they trying to put it out, or are it's 16% contained right now this morning? 16% containment, and then there's a, like Greg said, there's a difference in perception of how many acres are actually burning. I read one as of yesterday, it was 3,000. Today there's another one with the 3,000. It's at 3,800. Now, if I look at that compared to the initial startup, I don't know if it's accelerating that quickly.
Okay, well, that's good, I guess. But ultimately, though, you educate, and the people are going to have to pretty much rise up, and most likely, maybe, I guess, the people are going to have to form their own legal action group, I guess. Because nothing seems to happen in this kind of system until lawyers get involved. Would that be fair, you know, to say?
Well,
because grain is filled with law. Yeah. I mean, they're willing to sue us out of existence to keep anything productive on the land from happening.
Well, I just look at it as, you know, that land they're burning, if it's managed by the BLM, is I own part of that land under the public trust. They're supposed to manage it for us. We own it. They manage it. We own it as a collective group, as the people of this country. All of the BLM Forest Service lands, that's managed under a trust. And the concept that it's federally owned land, well, read your Constitution. The federal government is prohibited from owning lands other than Washington, D.C. and military installations. Now, you look at that, they conduct that in the normal thing. They lease properties, they lease buildings, they do this. But now they act like...
Well, they're managers, but they act like owners. You know that.
That's right.
Okay, and, all right, Ed, I'm out of time. Okay, yeah, out of time at this point. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put your information up. You got a lot of reading in there, and people can take a look in and just because you have, you know, this to this to this to that, and you look at all of this, and it's like the whole system is lined up to tell Southern Oregon residents that, well, we don't care what you want. We're burning you, and we're going to burn you and continue to burn you, and you can't do anything about it, and we have to prove them wrong in this particular case. It's going to be our
exactly
action.
Exactly right.
Okay.
That's the best summary I've heard, Bill. That's what it is. We have to stand our ground, and we have to start pushing back, because when you go out and you can't breathe or you breathe this air is the equivalent when it gets like heavy like it was the other day. I've read all of the reports. That's the equivalent of smoking 5 packs of cigarettes a day.
Yeah, exactly. And the other aspect of this, and yet we're told at the same time that we're supposed to be open to our economy only being sustainable tourism. Tourism, tourism,
that's
tourism.
Right.
Well, unless you're going to start selling, you know, tickets to come observe fire smoke in the summer, you know, and you can make money doing that. That's not a good business plan. Ed, got to go, but I appreciate your passion and your willingness to go through hundreds of pages of stuff here. And I think you should take the rest of the day off, okay? All righty?
Okay. I'm going to go outside and breathe the smoky air for a while.
Yeah, breathe deeply, my friend. Thanks for the call. All right.
Yeah. All right, Bill. Thank you.
All right, Mr. X, and information yet to come. And like I said, it's mind-boggling to see how the burn the landscape industry is in charge of Southern Oregon and Northern California, and nobody really thinks about it. And well, it just happens. And oh, how interesting. We have burn plants, and magically they start up. And oh, it's going to, we go from 200 to 3,700 acres or whatever. It's fascinating stuff here. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Hey! Hey, it's all fireworks and Fords and 4th of July here at Butler Ford and Truck Center in Ashland. Joel here for our giant 4th of July sale. I still have a few Ford F-150s for only $445 a month. Tow your boat or camper this summer with a new Ford F-150 and pay only $445 a month. Butler Ford also has 2.9% financing lined up on our Ford Escapes. Not for 48 months, not for 60 months, but 72 months financing at 2.9. If I had more time, I'd tell you about the low payments and low rates we also have on our Ford Edges, Broncos, Mach-Es, well, everything on the lot. Butler says yes to $445 a month on a new F-150. Butler says yes to 2.9% financing for 72 months. Butler says yes to big 4th of July sale discounts. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where you already know. We got your truck, SUV, certified pre-owned, hybrid, and EV.
36-monthly lease payments at 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer.fee with vehicle cap cost of $42,884. 72-monthly payments of $15.15 per thousand finance. All financing on approved credit.
The only thing better than hitting the open road this summer is your vehicle looking sharp while you're doing it. So if you have a crunch in your car that's keeping it from looking its best, Lithia Body and Paint invites you to stop by so they can have a look. Simple dents and dings are often easy, fast, and affordable to fix. Plus, it's an unscientific fact that your car runs better when it looks like new. Your look good before summer road trip headquarters is Lithia Body and Paint. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Jasper's Cafe, voted Medford's best burgers for 14 years running. Jasper's has been a local tradition for over 40 years. Come in and see for yourself why we've been recognized nationally for our amazing burgers featuring outrageous toppings and a delicious range of meats from local grass-fed beef to elk to bison and more. We're just 1 mile up North Pacific Highway from the mall, or check out our menu at jasperscafe.com. Jasper's, burgers with attitude.
106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG weather is sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com.
I'm meteorologist Bobby J for NBC5. A mild start this morning, and we're still in the triple digits at 101 this afternoon. Friday at 102, 103 on Saturday, and then upper 90s take over into next week. Plenty of sunshine with smoke and haze and breezy afternoon.
22 minutes after 7, it is Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Not so crazy, Gene's here. Gene, you were saying that there's probably a purpose of getting people off the rural areas and getting them into, yeah, the 15-minute cities, the 15-minute climate-friendly, equitable community. It's an interesting Conspiracy Theory Thursday thing. It's just out there in the open. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking, I read years ago, and it is a scientific formula for this, that the larger the group of people you get together, the lower the group of intelligence is. And so I'm thinking cities. You pile everybody in cities. The bigger the city, the dumber you get.
That's pretty interesting. I never thought of it that way. It could be. Could be right. You know, you start depending on more. You have more interdependency, and so you don't have to be. Well, you can be dumber and still survive, right?
Oh, well, yeah. It's fact of the weakest link. I mean, when you get a big city, you have several weak links.
All right. I appreciate the call there, Gene. Thanks for it. 770-5633. We'll check the hand of the update coming up. Captain Bill's going to join us, and it's more on wildfire from a different perspective here. He's talking about it from Northern California, where they're really having just a situation. And what the heck's going on with the fire hydrants? Crazy designs. We'll do that here in the next few minutes. Now, my favorite crazy Conspiracy Theory Thursday email, and I'll give this an email of the day, and emails of the day are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. They have a dental plan available there if you don't have dental insurance. Works a lot like dental insurance, but better benefits and fewer restrictions. But find out more, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Get your appointment, and Dr. Steve and the crew, great people, okay? It's next to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant in Central Point. But Lucretia, God love you. I love this one. This is the one that Lucretia sent me, and it's a big picture. It says, satellites are a myth. Remember I told you there's a whole lot of flat earth folks in Southwest Oregon? And it has a picture of a satellite with a big X through it, like a satellite up in the sky, right? And it says, satellites are a myth. 99% of international data are transmitted through submarine cables. For other means, we use high-altitude balloons, planes and drones, towers, antennas, and parabolic reflectors. So satellites are a myth. God love you, Lucretia. Just between you and me and several thousand folks this morning, about 90% of our syndicated programming comes over a myth, if I'm to take this seriously. And that when I was out there and we had one satellite that went bad, it was just past its life a number of years ago. I think it was AMC-8 is what it was called. It was too old, and so they were decommissioning it. And then we had to turn our satellite dish and point it to a new satellite and get it all aligned in. So apparently I was pointing my satellite dish to a myth, and I'm getting Markley and Van Camp and Robbins from a myth, and Coast to Coast AM is on a myth, and Lars Larson Show is on a myth, and the Hannity Show is on a myth, and Joe Pags and Ground Zero. I never knew. Who knew? I should have just let the satellite dish go dead. I'm sure it would have kept working anyway.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Spectrum delivers with fast and reliable internet. And with Spectrum One, you get even more. Spectrum internet, so you can work, game, and stream with speeds up to a gig. Plus advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and one Spectrum Mobile unlimited line, both free for 12 months. Internet, advanced Wi-Fi, and mobile. Get it all together with Spectrum One. Starting at just $49.99 a month. Visit Spectrum.com for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Restrictions apply.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You have Chicago's pro-crime mayor. What do we have, 117 people shot? 100 and some odd people shot over the four-day holiday weekend. 17 of them or 19 of them are dead. I mean, unbelievable, but Chicago's lefty mayor Brandon Johnson is blaming Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon, who resigned from the presidency in 1974 and died in 1994. For Chicago's crippling crime problem. Black death has unfortunately been accepted in this country for a long time, he said at a press conference. We had a chance 60 years ago to get at the root causes, and people mocked President Johnson. We ended up with Richard Nixon. Nixon Foundation wasted no time calling the remark bizarre and gratuitous.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
You know, out of all the things we can do to maintain and protect our homes, you know what? Getting up on a ladder, cleaning out the gutters, that's the last thing anyone wants to do. I know, I've done it. And right now you can save up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. An investment in Leaf Filter is an investment engineered to protect your entire home. Now, the beauty of Leaf Filter is they take care of everything start to finish. Every installation comes with a free inspection, free estimate, and a lifetime guarantee. Now, a Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will clean out, realign, seal your gutters before installing Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters ever again with Leaf Filter. They're America's number one gutter protection system. And schedule your free inspection. Get up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. That's a free inspection up to 30% off. LEAFFilter.com/Hannity and do it today.
The Bill Meyer Show is on 106.3 KMED.
One of my favorite 1980s bands, Smithereens. I like Smithereens more than, and they're from New Jersey too. They were from New Jersey. Better than Springsteen in my view. Less pretentious. Anyway. It's 29 minutes after 7. I always called it mope rock. You know, sometimes you always have to have some good bands that are into mope rock. You know, you stare at your shoes a little bit and woe is me, but it was good tunes. Let me go to John. Hello, John. Conspiracy Theory Thursday, and you were listening intently with our conversation on the entire industry and collaborators that are involved in putting fire on our landscape. What are you thinking about that?
Absolutely. Good morning, Bill. Yeah, I've been kind of steaming over an issue that I have been personally affected by. So, yeah, you can say I have a dog in the fight here.
Yeah.
For 23 years, I have lived as a resident property caretaker, property manager on a piece of property that's owned by a corporation down in Southwest Oregon, O'Brien area. And that last fire that came through down in that area, the Smith River complex, that started down near Patrick's Creek. I was told by a group that worked with a local firefighting organization, Grayback Forestry, I was told by a group that had witnessed personally the Redmond hotshots using drones and dropping firebombs to guide that fire over into Oregon from California, and it was brought deliberately into the property where I have been, you know, living for the last 23 years as a property manager, and our home was like 5 miles from the nearest home, anywhere near us. So we're one of those people that were living out in rural Oregon, had a beautiful custom timber frame home, and I had done everything I could to make that property fire safe. I took all of our propane bottles and everything, moved those into an open area, and they survived the fire. And then I did everything I could with the gasoline. I had like 35 gallons of gasoline for our generators, and I'd move the gasoline into an open area, and then I put plywood around it and then spray painted with red spray paint gasoline so the firefighters would know what was under there. And the day before the fire came through and burned our place, I had gone back up to do what I could to try and protect our place, and somebody within one of those fire crews had moved all that gasoline back into my structures.
What?
Yes, absolutely. And I approached, you know, one individual, and I said, you know, who put the gasoline back into my structures? And he was well, we were told by somebody higher up, you know, that it was safer to be inside and it needed to be, you know, it couldn't pose.
It was much safer to have it blow up your house, right?
There you go. There you go. And before that happened, there was an individual that was wrapping one of my garden hoses around a tree facing the side of a little guest trailer that we had. And I asked him what he was doing, and he real proudly stood up, and he says, well, I have been appointed to the structural protection team, and he says, I'm here to protect your structures. And I said, well, you're putting this hose around a tree with a small sprinkler facing the side of the building that's under a roof. I said, wouldn't it make more sense to run that hose up on top of the roof and let the water cascade down over the top of the roof? And he stepped back, and he says, man, he says, I'm sorry. He says, I don't know the first thing I'm doing. He says, I've never done this before. They just told me I was on structure protection. Oh. Now, this happened after they dropped off $50,000 worth of structure protection equipment. They had hoses. They had pumps. They had sprinklers. They had foam. They had all of this stuff on site to protect our structures, and none of it got used. In fact, it ended up getting burned, and they lost $50,000 worth of equipment because they didn't use it.
So your experience with putting fire on the landscape intentionally has not been a pleasant one?
Has not been a pleasant one. So,
Do you think enough people understand that that is the policy of intentionally putting... Do you think people understand or are starting to wake up to this this intention of putting as much fire on the landscape as possible?
Well, this discussion I keep hearing about these 15-minute cities are making more and more sense to me all the time.
All right. John, I appreciate you sharing your story. And did you rebuild, or what did you do?
We are currently living with friends of ours in O'Brien that opened up a home that they had. They had a second home on their property, and they opened that up to us the very next morning. So we've had a place to stay, and the plan is to get back up and rebuild. I have been, since last August, I have been going up to the property morning and evening and just cleaning up the aftermath, you know, just to get everything cleaned up and out of there and ready to rebuild. And that's the plan.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thanks for sharing your story on that, John. John from O'Brien. It is 7:33. Captain Bill Simpson is standing by. We're going to check in with him in a few minutes because he's reporting on what's been going on in the Northern California fire. This, of course, the Shelley fire, just huge. And I think we're going to connect this with dam removal. It's all part of that big conspiracy of you don't belong around here if you let them continue. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Rhonda talks about her experience with Clouser Drilling.
Kevin came right out. The thing that really stood out to me, we could see the years of experience in the quality of their work. And that just showed us what great communication that they have. I wouldn't hesitate to recommend Clouser Well Drilling. They were great to work with.
Clouser Drilling has the experience and the equipment to handle the most challenging conditions. Visit ClouserDrilling.com. That's ClouserDrilling.com.
Does your property have adequate, defensible space for fire season? Hi, this is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. Fire officials are again urging property owners to maintain a buffer clear of brush, low-hanging branches, and other flammable material. At Quality Tree Service, we can visit your property and recommend trimming, brush clearing, and tree removal if necessary to help provide fire protection for your home and outbuildings. Call me today for a thorough inspection and no obligation quote. Visit QualityTreeServiceMedford.com.
Northwest summer's out on the patio. There's nothing better. But Terra Firma Foundation Systems wants you to know there's nothing worse than a cracked, broken patio. It's unsightly and unsafe. If you have sinking or separating concrete patios, walkways, porches, or driveways, Terra Firma can help. Our concrete leveling can restore your home's concrete. Enjoy your outdoor spaces this summer. Visit GoTerraFirma.com. That's GoTerraFirma.com. CCB 173-547.
Coming up on the next Hughes Lumber. When 2x4s get together, only one thing can happen. Walls get built. Check out the studs, followed by contractors and do-it-yourselfers. Featuring lumber, hardware, and siding. Starring decks, additions, and ADUs. It's the return of home enhancements. But watch out for that knotty pine. Get the best build for your buck values at Hughes Lumber. Your top show for quality, price, selection, service. So don't miss Hughes Lumber on Crater Lake Highway next to Garrison's.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters. Proudly offering Adrian Steel interior shelving packages, partitions, and the best ladder racks in the business. Integrated bed slide or decked drawer system to boost your efficiency. Also featuring the largest selection of commercial fiberglass and metal truck canopies from leading manufacturers such as ARE, SmartCap, Century, and more. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and take your efficiency to the next level.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Jackson County Sheriff's detectives are investigating burglaries of pot farms and storage facilities in Jackson and Josephine counties. The suspects are targeting licensed pot farms at night and are possibly armed. Owners and workers of those facilities need to check for any unusual activity and also examine perimeter fences and cameras to make sure they're optional. The Salt Creek Fire near Eagle Point was mapped last night at 3,891 acres. It's 16% contained. Firefighters started some preliminary mop-up on the fire's northern perimeter. The heat wave is being possibly blamed for two deaths in Jackson County. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office says its medical examiner is investigating a second death for any possible relationship with heat as its cause. It follows a case discovered over the weekend. Temperatures, by the way, are still expected to reach triple digits at least through Sunday. I'm Bill London, KMED.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands. So if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
James Taylor released the single Fire and Rain in August of 1970, and it quickly reached number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100. This song is a reminder that summer heat and winter moisture can make the ground under your house foundation unstable. With Millett Construction, you've got a friend that can level your house and fix the water issue that caused the damage. Get on solid ground. Millett Construction is your foundation handyman. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Hi, I'm Jolene from Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros, and I'm on KMED.
7:39, Captain William E. Simpson checks in here from Northern California from his Wild Horse Fire Brigade Ranch. And how you doing this morning, Bill? Welcome back. Always good having you on.
Good morning. How are you, Bill?
Doing well. A little irritated at some of the stuff that goes on, and the intense desire to get as much of our forest burned as possible in order to restore us. That's all. That's just me.
The people have an opportunity to rise up here, and everybody should get on the phone to their county commissioners or on this side of the border, their supervisors, and put their feet to the fire. I mean, these people are elected to protect our health, safety, and welfare. I'm looking at the Shelley Fire data this morning. I don't know how reliable it is because it comes from the U.S. Forest Service. But They're saying that that thing's up to 8,736 acres, 0% contained.
Yeah, they had a firefighter hurt on it yesterday, too, from what I,
what I
read.
Yeah, they got 2,488 people out there, 61 crews, 199 engines, 58 dozers, 7 helicopters, 69 heavy equipment. You know, and here's the thing. That fire started out there in the Calmeops, or not the Calmeops, but the Six Rivers Forest out there by one of the branches off the Salmon River, pretty close to the Pacific Coast Crest Trail. You know, you look at Six Rivers, that place burns catastrophically every, you know, almost every year, every 2 years. And there's no livestock grazing going on out there. The deer herd is collapsed out there. The elk are very few and far between.
And if you don't mind me interjecting here, Bill, you have been a big fan of one thing we could do to help us with the wildfire challenges is to rebuild herbivory, get more animals on these lands, get those, what they call them, one-hour fuels, right? The grasses that burn up very quickly and very hot and tend to spread very quickly, right? That kind of thing? Is that where
right,
you're coming
from?
Right,
yeah. 1 hour, they call them one-hour class fuels or lag fuels. And basically, that's all the fuel that's a quarter inch in diameter and smaller. And that's the fuel that when you see the fire danger today sign, it's based on those one-hour fuels and their moisture content. Because those fuels, when you put just even a tiny bit of wind on them, because of the surface area they offer for combustion, they burn at a phenomenal rate, especially when you've got grasses 2-3 feet tall, and it burns hotter than trees. See, the people don't understand the chemistry of combustion and the thermodynamics. Crown fires, yeah, they're bad news, and crown fires with a wind can really move fast. The thing is if you manage the ground fuels properly and the ladders and things on the trees, you don't have crown fires. I've watched during the Klamathon fire. I was right there on the fire line watching fire behavior. Every tree that was used by horses where they grazed the grass out underneath and broke off all the low dead limbs, the fire burned right under the tree and went right by. The tree was still standing at the end of the fire. Every tree where the horses didn't use it for shelter became a matchstick. And so we've got reams and reams of data that show grazing works, and I'm not against livestock grazing, but I think that you put the horses in the areas where you can't risk your livestock, deep wilderness or
because you know. But there's been a real push to not have grazing too, isn't that been
right.
part of this?
What
was it? No Moo by 2032 or something like that? Was the
Friends of the Soda Mountain Wilderness, I think his name is Mr. Willis. You know, he wants no grazing. So, you know, here's a guy who doesn't understand wilderness. I grew up here. I was logging up there in the monument back in the early 70s, well before it was a monument. And we had hundreds of horses up there back then, hundreds. And it was gorgeous. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous up there. And of course, if it wasn't so great, why would in 2000, 30 years later, people show up from San Francisco, move into Ashland, they look up there. They go, oh, this is so beautiful. Let's protect it. And everybody goes, okay, let's do that. And then what's their first move? Get rid of all the horses that kept it fire protected.
And to get rid of the conventional grazing, too. And then you also have the issue with, let's protect the predators, the apex predators, and have them just chew up all the deer and elk, right? Let's do that, too.
Yeah, if you don't have balance, see, it's about balance. You know, when deer and elk collapsed in Oregon and California, Oregon down 500,000, I think, according to Fish and Game, or California is down at least 2 million. I don't think they've done a census on deer down here in 10 years. Last time I looked, it was 1.5 million, and that was a 10-year-old census. And that's over 20 years drop, and that means 2.5 million tons of annual grass and brush sitting there. So what do you do about it? I mean, you know, you can't.
Well, and doing prescribed burns, which we were talking about with Mr. X and others over the last hour, you know, all that does is work for that year, right? I mean, or for the year, or maybe the next year, it just grows back, doesn't it?
It's a grain of sand off a beach of problems we have. We have millions of acres choked with grass and brush, Bill, and I mean, we're not going to prescribe burn millions of acres. Number one, that's just number one. Number two, these fires have a terrible habit of getting out of control and burning hundreds of homes. I mean, they almost burned New Mexico to the ground last year. You know, with that controlled burn that got out of, and these fire guys will say, well, that doesn't happen very often. Well, you know what? Yeah, that's probably two. Yeah,
well, that's fine unless it's your house.
But the point is when it does happen, it's catastrophic. We're losing 200-300 homes in a shot. So, no, that argument doesn't fly. So, recently, because we lost our lakes, I've been trying to assess, okay, how are we going to fight the fires in this area?
In fact, I wanted to direct people to this, and on the blog today on KMED.com, I'm going to list the link to your article. And it's about Cal Fire and the KRRC, Klamath River Renewal Corporation. And I don't know, is Cal Fire being dancing down the primrose path with Klamath River Renewal, telling them, hey, they got everything under control when it comes to firefighting? What do you think?
Well, they're not going to say anything bad because it would be real embarrassing, because they had to buy off on this. You know, they were going to give up a lake that we've been using for decades to fight fire.
And, with the dam removal, yeah, that's all right. Gone now, right?
Yeah, so Cal Fire had to sign off on it. And so KRRC, cooked up all these things that were going to make up for losing the lakes, which are going to be, we'll give you cameras and we're going to put in these dry hydrants and we're going to do this and that. And, so when you and we give you a water truck or whatever they did, right? But they call them dry hydrants, they're fire, hydrant stands.
Okay, so what's a dry hydrant? Because you have a picture of it in your Siskiyou.News article here. And so it's the pipe setting up. It's got, it's the big pipe, and it's got a cap on it, kind of like, and guess what? You're a fire truck or a water truck, and you plug into that? Is that what you're supposed to do?
Well, allegedly, a tanker. Okay, see, the engines immediately go to the fire. They have, 750 gallons on board the engines. And then you have a tanker that supplies the engines at the fire line. So the tanker has a huge pump and a great big vacuum hose, and they hook up to that head on the hydrant. And then they draw a suction, and that the other end of that pipe goes into the river, allegedly. And
allegedly?
allegedly.
Okay.
And you're supposed to fill this 5,000-gallon tanker real quickly and then haul ass up and resupply the engines on the fire line. They don't really want to have engines coming down off the fire line. And so you have this big tanker truck supplying the engine.
Yeah, the tanker trucks, they fill up out of the Klamath River and then, boom, up to the fire zone, and then everybody's happy, right? They get the fire put out.
So I went and looked at these hydrants that, one end sticks up where the truck can put their big vacuum hose on, and the other end allegedly goes into the water. Well, the first one I looked at was down at Klamath Dam, down below Iron Gate Dam at the boat ramp, and here the intake is out of the water. Well, okay.
Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. All right, I just want to make sure I hear clearly, because remember, fire hydrant is there to fill the tanker trucks up, to put the fires out, and so they have a hose going out into the river, into the water, but the intake where the water is supposed to go in is above the water. That doesn't work, does it?
Of course not.
Okay.
I mean, here's the thing, when we were logging, our family had a water truck and some dozers and, all the things you need to play logging. And so the thing is one of these big trucks, these pumps on these trucks, when you're trying to fill 5,000 gallons in a hurry, you got a big suction pump.
Right? Oh, yeah. It's sucking hard.
So
it really is.
Even when the intake is like 6-7 inches or 8 inches below the surface, when you start drawing that vacuum, what happens is you get a little whirlpool forming right above the intake if it isn't deep enough.
And you probably start sucking air, don't you? Or cavitate, I think they call that, right?
What's familiar for most people is when you flush your toilet, you see that little tornado of water go down the toilet.
Right,
okay,
right.
That little Venturi. Well, when you suck really hard on the intake and it's not deep enough in the water, you get that little whirlpool formed. And as soon as the whirlpool, the air in the bottom of that whirlpool hits the intake, it completely goes to air. You lose your vacuum. You lose your suction on the water. So these things have to be fairly deep. I'm not an expert on this stuff. I mean, I don't design and do these things for a living, but I would say, based on my own empirical experience, you should have that intake at least a couple feet below the surface, okay? Now, I looked at the other two. these hydrants are about 8 miles apart. So the one at Iron Gate is above the water. So And it's a good thing I found it and announced it to the world, because if we had a fire here and Cal Fire sends the engines out, you know, they got their 750 gallons to start with.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to suck much water. They're not going to be able to suck water quickly. They just can't.
Well, they don't. The engines don't go there and suck water, Bill. Okay, oh. The engines go straight to the fire.
Oh, sorry.
And then the tanker truck follows in behind to resupply. Okay, that's how you usually do it. So the tanker, the big 5,000-gallon tanker, pulls up to that hydrant. Okay, now, what would have happened if, let's say, we had a big fire over here and the engines were on scene, and here comes the truck to get the fill up the 5,000 gallons to then run up there and resupply? Well, he hooks up, and he's not getting any water. Now what's he going to do? Meantime, those guys are getting dry hoses. So then he's got to figure out where to go. Well, then he goes up the road 8 more miles, okay, because he can't drop a hose in anywhere on the river because it's all full of mud. You know, you put
the mud from the dam removal, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense.
The helicopters tried dipping and they were getting mud. I got videos of it. I mean, they're getting buckets of mud. So, you know, they would probably try to go to the next hydrant, which is up at Jenny Creek here, which I surveyed. And the intake for that is about 6 to 8 inches under the water. So there's a good possibility that would cavitate as well. So they would be running around looking for water. In the meantime, these poor guys would be up there on the fire line with dry hoses going, where's our water? You know, and that don't work so good. And I'm worried about the health, safety, and welfare of my community, my fellow neighbors and ranchers here. You know, we lost our lakes, and now these hydrants have to work really good.
Who's actually in charge of maintaining those hydrants, or what's the controlling authority of this? And I hope that's not a dumb question, but we'll see.
That is a really good question, Bill, because I don't have the answer to that. I don't know if Cal Fire is in charge. I know this. If Cal Fire drove up the road and saw that hydrant sitting there the way I did at Iron Gate, they'd be freaked out because that is absolutely useless. So, you know, that's a useless asset for them. And so I'm sure they're going to be up there looking at it after the story in Siskiyou News. And of course, you know, we're seeing how hard it is when you've got all this equipment and everybody on the Shelley Fire, you can't even get containment. I mean, there's still a 0% containment, you know, and what it comes down to is this, okay? It comes down to prevention, Bill. We cannot stop arsonists or lightning or chains dragging. And by the way, kudos to Greg Roberts, because when I was logging up at Tiller back, I think it was 71 or 72, we put out a small fire, and we found the arsonist who did it. His name was Miller. It was a clear Miller beer bottle sitting in some grass.
Yeah. It's amazing how that happens. Yeah.
And it was acting like a magnifying glass, and we're driving up to the log deck we were going to log, and we see smoke coming out of this grass, and we go over there. And here's this beer bottle acting like a magnifying glass. And it was this glass. I mean, we were Johnny on the spot because it was just starting to flame up. So we just, you know, got his shovels out and put it out with some shovels. No big deal. But, you know, he's right. It does. See, and the point of that is we can't control all the ways these fires can start. The only thing we can control is the grass.
Yeah.
That's it. And if we control this grass, you know, I took the monument manager, Elizabeth Berghardt and Lauren Brown, up on a nature hike, and I showed them several snags that got hit by lightning, burned furiously, but the fire didn't go across the ground to other heavy fuels or other fuels because the horses had the grass grazed down. It just burned out. The tree just burned out, and that was the end of the fire.
And that's what those were the snags by your area, right? By your neck of the woods.
They were in the monument, just over the Oregon fence. I took them up there into the part of the monument they'd never seen. And because it's really remote down here. But see, the thing is that we know it works. The grazing works, and we can use livestock in the right spots. We can use horses in the other spots.
You can use goats in other spots. You can, right all that kind
goats
of stuff.
Are, yeah. Goats are great in small areas around town, around schools, airports, you know, because they're little if you hit one. And the thing is, you know, I keep hearing these ridiculous arguments from people that, you know, well, you know, if we put these horses up in this wilderness area, what if one wanders into town and somebody hits it with their car? Well, okay, let's just assume that happens. You know, you weigh the losses, for instance, in the Alameda fire against one vehicular accident with an animal.
Yeah, that's a good point there, Cap'n Bill. Cap'n Bill.
And you can get insurance. I mean, when you get a herd of horses, you can get insurance. I mean, and it isn't all that much money, like $1,000 a year.
Yeah, of course. I don't know right now. The insurance has been getting way more expensive, as we well know. You know something,
well,
Bill?
Fire.
But it's a really interesting point that you have brought up here. Now, since you put this article out, I'm going to link to this one. It's called Cal Fire Misled by Klamath River Renewal Corporation, Fake Flawed Wildfire Solutions. So we got these useless or mostly useless hydrants. And it's almost like a false sense of security, and that's not good. And that's what you're trying to raise the alarm about. And has anybody reacted from that? Has Cal Fire got in touch with you about that or what?
No, everybody goes to ground. When this kind of stuff comes up, when there's a solution or there's a problem, and it's embarrassing because somebody missed it or somebody bought into a fake solution, and that's embarrassing, they go to ground on it.
Mm.
You know, they go to ground. Cal Fire, unfortunately, you know, I think firefighters are great, you know, quite frankly, but some of the leadership isn't so great because, you know, they could do a better job, just like with some of our legislators and our elected officials. You know, you can't go to ground when you find a problem. You know, a good CEO, the minute he finds a problem, he grabs it and he fixes it. You know, that's what you do. That's what you're supposed to do. Not, oh, you know, this is an embarrassing situation. I'm just going to just sweep it under the rug.
Yeah.
And, you know, that we can't manage our forests, our resources that way. We have to be more proactive. And quite frankly, you know, me finding that may have saved lives. I mean, but nobody wants to acknowledge that either. You know, everybody wants to complain. Oh, you know, Bill, you're just like complaining because you don't like dam removal. You know, I was supposed to actually do that show on Jefferson Public Radio. Well, after you and I talked about the problems with all the dam removal issues, Angela Decker from Jefferson Public Radio sends me an email. They chased me around for weeks to be on the show. So then I agreed, okay, because I know that they're probably going to try to pummel me with questions that, you know, and I'm happy to answer any questions. They wanted to talk about Fire Brigade. And I said, sure, let's do it. And so I was going to go to Ashland and go in the studio so they have good sound quality. Well, after you and I talked about the dams, it was 3 hours later, I get an email. Well, we're canceling the show. We're not offering you another date.
In other words, you're not supporting the agenda. You're not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supporting truth and fact. And, you know, this agenda, people swallow this KRSD Kool-Aid and they lose their inhibitions. They're like a bunch of drunks and they run around and it's like this one guy, was attacking the fire hydrant or the, it's not a true hydrant. Cause it's not pressurized, you know, it's a dry hydrant.
Mm-hmm.
But attacking that article, saying, well, you don't like change. Well, this is the kind of guy that condemns the mailman when he gets a letter from the IRS that wants to audit him. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're just the messenger showing that, hey, it's not working. It's not going to do you know, what they claim it's going to do. And, well, you know, messenger shooting is quite common in the culture. You know that, Bill.
Well,
you
know, my dad, he worked for Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena. He knew Carl Sagan, all those guys. He was an environmental test engineer. And what his job was to figure out, he worked on the Viking, the Voyager, and the Mariner programs. His job was to figure out what would break before it went out into space where you couldn't fix it. That was his job. Now, I probably inherited some of that that peculiar way of looking at the world. You know, what's going to break? Let's fix it before it breaks. Let's fix something before people get dead.
Yeah, well, those hydrants are certainly broken, and the policies are broken here, too. Hey, Captain Bill, we really appreciate you sharing a few thoughts on this one, okay? And let me direct everybody to siskiyou.news for that latest article. Got pictures there? You bring the receipts, all right? And we may have someone here who wants to talk to you or ask a question or comment, but hi, who's this? Good morning. You want to talk to Bill or not?
Yeah, this was Salmon.
Yes, Steve, go ahead. You're with Bill.
Yes, absolutely. You know, there are two world views. One is the private sector where you have to make money. The other is the government sector where the only thing that matters is getting your budget. And so all of this crazy stuff that they do is with the intent of increasing their budget, and they don't care what the results are because it doesn't matter.
Interesting point there. Would you agree with what Steve says here, Bill?
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of weight in that direction. You know, maintaining budget and, you know, showing up and putting on a good show, you know, like they did with the helicopters down here. We're training. Really what they were doing was surveying the river to find out if they could draft water off the river, and they learned the hard way all they got was mud.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, I also appreciate you mentioning Greg. We're going to talk with him about the latest numbers here in just a moment. But, yeah, sure. Everyone working it. And thank you for checking in from Northern California. You stay safe. And thanks for bringing up the issue of those hydrants, okay, or those, well, those pipes that are supposed to be hydrants.
Okay. Yeah, they call them dry hydrants. But, you know, Greg knows about that.
So. All right. Hey, thanks a bunch.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. You take care. William E. Simpson, Captain William E. Simpson. It's 8 o'clock, KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass, K290AF, Rogue River, and K294AS, Ashland. And we'll be back and get the very latest on these fires. Like I said, it's a conspiracy theory Thursday, but it's been a lot of conversation on fire policy and where we're headed or where we've been corralled, I guess, in some cases.